Scripture.
All right, turn to Genesis chapter 6 here. And, you know, something Brother Larry said just struck me from the Scriptures, and I thought I'd read a little bit on this. And I know it doesn't really have necessarily a Thanksgiving theme, but it'll probably lead to that. But you don't have to have that. You just have to have the Word of God preached.
Amen.
So that's more important. But I think there's something in here that I want to touch on, that he talked about a father and just feeling, you know, what God felt when you know, his children, when his people turned their back on him and walked away from him. And Genesis chapter 6 illustrates this. It says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, that they bare the children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown." Now listen, I think we'll stop here for a second and just look at these verses here. First of all, we understand that the Bible tells us that, you know, the first one to fall was Satan, was Lucifer. Okay, Lucifer, the son of the morning, you know, he fell. Okay, so God's own creation turned on him. He created them and they turned on him, and Lucifer turned on him first. Okay, he was the anointed cherub that covereth. You know, and God said, "I made him so," and he was beautiful to look upon. He had beautiful countenance. It said, the Bible says that from his pride he was lifted up with pride, and because of that he fell. Well, after his fall, then we have these sons of God that went into the daughters of men. Now, these sons of God, I've proven it in other verses before, or other sermons before, that these sons of God were fallen angels, that the sons of God came into the daughters of men. And, you know, they're showing you that they went after, the book of Jude says they went after strange flesh. And just like as in Sodom and Gomorrah, when what? The homosexuals, when the Sodomites go after strange flesh, right? So they did that. But anyway, so what we see is we see Lucifer turn his back on God and become Satan. Then we see man, Adam, turn his back on God, okay, in the garden, Adam and Eve turned their back on God, and they wanted to be God. So God's creation wanted to be above him. They wanted to they weren't grateful or thankful for how God made them, but they always wanted to ascend above God. Satan said, five things that he said he would ascend into the Most High, he would ascend into the clouds, he would sit on the congregation of the north, he would be like the Most High, is what he said. He said he would do those things, and he would exalt himself above the stars of God, above all of God's angels, that he would exalt himself above there. He would sit on the sides of the north, he'd sit over the congregation, and he would be like the Most High God. So he did that. Then Adam, his own Adam turned his back on God. God made Adam. We read in Genesis chapter 1 that God made Adam, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then God made Eve for Adam. When Adam needed a wife, there was no helpmeet for him. So God made a helpmeet for him and made Eve. And he took Eve out of Adam's side. Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. That's that one flesh. That's what God wants a marriage to be, like we talked about today. One flesh, amen, working together. You know, to work together, one mind and one body, glorifying God. That's what we are, just like the church is that.
Amen.
Amen. One head, which is Christ, and one body. Amen. But man turned his back on God. And then we find these sons of God went unto the daughters of men, and they turned their back on God. So you have a Father in heaven and a creator of all that made everything, and everyone has turned its back on God. All of God's creation turned on him. And we're going to see this as we keep going here. Then they developed these hybrids here. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. So we see the giants came in, and that's the offspring of the sons of God and the daughters of men. We've talked about that before. Sermon series, Sons of God. You can listen to that, and the giants, and Genesis 6 it's called, actually, a Genesis 6 series. But anyway, so we see that they turned their back on God. These giants were an offspring of hate. They hated God. If you study in history, giants, in even historical documents, you see that giants, they were just wicked, they were cannibals, they were sodomites, they were perverts, they ran around naked. Why? Well, they are devils. They had devils in them. You know, they were the sons of fallen angels. You know, they were the sons and daughters, sons of fallen angels. So I mean, so we understand that is there too. But so we come to a time when these giants are ruling and running the earth everywhere. These giants are, these sons of God are. All this stuff is happening at this time. And then we see where the wickedness gets greater in the earth. And there's a Father up in heaven, the creator of all, created everything, and he gets no gratitude. Mm. There's no thankfulness for God creating man. Because we see this, and it says, and God saw that the wicked, verse number 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So every thought, every imagination of man at that time was only evil continually. Now I will tell you, we aren't there yet, but we're getting mighty close. We're getting really close to where that time is coming. That's why the Bible speaks often about having every thought captive, every thought in the obedience of Jesus Christ, because we are coming to a time when devils are working on the thoughts of men. We talked about that spiritual war and devils speaking and Satan speaking into the thoughts of man and speaking into his mind and everything and kind of active imaginations. But it says here that every thought and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's it. That's all that was on the earth in this time. I think we minimize too much what was really going on, how bad the earth was at this time. I think we try to compare today and say, yeah, it's wicked here, and it is wicked. But I don't believe it was as wicked as then. I just don't believe we're there yet. Because Jesus said he'd be coming back when we were there. Yeah, every animal was defiled. The bloodlines were defiled. Amen. There was one pure seed on the earth. That's it. One. That was it. And it repented. Now, I this part becomes interesting here when you start to look at this, because then you understand really, like you said, the grief of a father when your children go astray, when your creation, when what comes out of your bowels, what comes out of your life, what you, in God's case, what he created out of the dust of the ground, his own creation, and breathed into his nostrils. It says here, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So that repentance is a sorrow as well. That's part of repentance.
Yeah, that's right.
Repentance is that change of mind that leads to a change of action, a grief of heart, but it involves a compunction or grief in the heart and the soul. Yeah. And that's what true repentance is, brings about sorrow. You can't have it without it. Real repentance. Amen. That's why when somebody tells me that they're, you know, when you confront somebody about something, you have to confront them and they've done wicked and evil and then they don't, and that they're not contrite, they're not brokenhearted, they give you an I'm sorry over a text message or something like that. They say, I'm sorry or sorry. That's like my children. No, you don't get to do that. You don't get to walk up to somebody and say, sorry.
Yep, that's right.
And like, that's over. No, if you've grievously offended somebody, you know, you're going to deal with it the proper way and you're going to ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
And if there's a problem, if you're not contrite about that, there's a problem if your heart's not broken over what you've done. But God, in this case, his heart was broken over this. He was broken over it. It says, and God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth. Of man was great in the earth. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Could you imagine this? So God had created all of man. He breathed into his nostrils. And by the way, I find it fascinating that men began to multiply on the earth. When we see men begin to multiply on the earth, that's when we start to see the greed come in.
Yeah.
And that's when we start to see the turning away from God. When in prosperity, it seems like people turn their back on God so much.
Yeah.
Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. What was it? What was the sins of Sodom? Fullness of bread, pride, fullness of bread
for the needy.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. And America is the same way. This American Babylon here.
Yep.
What do we have? Pride, fullness of bread,
turning
their back on God. And what have done? They multiplied, God made them mighty. The Bible says all over the place, it talks about when God makes a man, when the kings of, in the Old Testament, the kings, it says when he was little, he was marvelously helped when he was little in his own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Until he got big in his own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he got big, he didn't need God anymore.
Yeah.
Right, and that's the danger that we have to always watch ourselves. Yeah. Well, could you imagine this? Could you imagine God created everybody, right? He created Adam, his offspring, brought him about, brought redemption about for him after he sinned. He went after Adam. Adam didn't go after him. Yep, he went after
right.
Adam.
That's right.
You know, that's the one thing that people have to understand. Whether whatever you want to fall under, Calvinism, Arminianism, or whatever you want to fall under, amen. The one thing you have to understand is that God goes looking for you way before you go looking for him.
Amen. That's right.
God's always looking for man.
Yeah.
That's why I preach it. That's why we preach the word of God, because God's always looking for man.
That's right.
Man's not looking for God always. But anyway, they sinned against God. They turned their back on God. But God goes looking for them. But then God created them. And then at this point, God was having remorse and actual regret for creating man.
Yeah.
It repented him. Right? And it grieved him at his heart. So it's like, you know, not that he didn't know what was going to happen.
Right.
That doesn't mean he didn't know what was going to happen. It's saying that God grieved. Like the Bible said, by the way, the Bible says the Holy Ghost is God. And he says, the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption.
Yeah.
So we see God was grieved. The Holy Ghost is grieved. What do you think's going on now today in our earth? What do you think? The Holy Ghost is grieved today and what's going on today, even among Christians, among those that are supposed to be saved.
Yeah.
The grief that is there because why? Because even in the churches today, God, the hearts of men are evil. They're evil. They're bent on evil. And they love the world more than they love God. Could you imagine saying to yourself, and obviously God didn't say this to everybody, and could you imagine saying to yourself or thinking in your heart, though, that I would rather not have ever had kids than to see them turn away from God and go to hell?
Well, yeah.
Could you imagine that? Because that's what's being said here, basically.
Yeah.
Because it's grieving God because he made these people, created mankind, and for their sin they're going to go to hell. Could you imagine how hard that would be? Could you imagine how hard that would be and how grieved you would be to be able to see the people that you created and they're going to hell?
Mm.
And hell was never made for them.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
Yep. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. God so grieved, he said it again twice, it repented me, I'm going to destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air. God says, I'm going to destroy it all. I'm going to destroy them all. Because it repenteth me that I have made them. I'm grieved the fact that I even made them. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
The God that is preached today is wholly different than the God.
Yeah, that's right.
Completely different than the God of the Bible. We've gotten so far away from the God of the Bible. Yeah. You're going to see tomorrow when we go out there and preach in the streets, when you confront sinners with the gospel, and you confront them with the Bible, the God of the Bible, they do not know him.
Nope. Yeah, nope.
You know, I want to preach a message sometime. The Bible belt is broken. You know, I want to preach that sometime. The Bible belt is broken because this Bible beltway down here just... It's broken. They don't know who the God of the Bible is any longer. They don't know. Generation after generations went by, and this is the God that destroyed man.
Yeah, that's right.
And will destroy him again.
Yeah, that's right.
There's no fear.
Yeah, no fear of God before their eyes. None.
Yeah.
None. But Noah, it says here, and the Lord said, I will destroy man, but Noah. But
Amen.
Noah.
Amen.
I like that. Amen.
Amen.
There's always that but. Amen. Amen in Scripture. When you see that, that's important. I preached a sermon called But God.
Yeah, amen.
Because there's always a but there that God has in there, that he shows a contrast there. He shows something going on there. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There will always be a remnant of people that find grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
And even in these end times, as things get darker and more wicked and more vile and more disgusting, and we see open pornography in the streets, we see open homosexuality in the streets, we see nudity, we're going to see rape, we're going to see pillage, we're going to see it all in front of us. By the way, that's a judgment of God, because God said it was going to happen.
Yeah, right.
He said that. He said that their children would be ripped up and their wives would be raped and all these things would happen out there in the open air right in front of everybody, that it would happen because of judgment, because of turning your back on God. That's right. God's just going to get you. Want to be that way? Then I'm going to move in a nation of fierce countenance, and I'm going to move in a leader, a king of fierce countenance is going to move in, and he's going to give you all the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
You want to be that way?
It's like so.
You want Babylon? Babylon's coming.
Yeah.
Babylon's here. That's right.
Yeah.
But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible talks about those generations of Noah. It says that they found grace, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth, look at this now, here we go. This is going to tell you what's really going on. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Here's another thing that a bunch of ungrateful people you can see. A people that are ungrateful and unthankful are people that are very violent people.
Yeah.
And why should America be a place of violence? Say, you think about this for 1 second. We have more blessings than any nation on this earth. We have more. We have better living conditions. Yeah. We have better food.
Yeah.
We have better homes. God has blessed us greatly. We still have a better government, even though it is apostate and antichrist.
Yeah.
We still have a better government than any other nation in the world. We have everything. Why would we turn our backs on God and turn to violence and have violence? Violence is everywhere.
Yeah.
It's an ungrateful people that are a violent people. Violence in killing their own babies. The murder of 4,400 babies a day. It's like somebody said something like, every 20 seconds or something like that. Every 20 seconds a baby is aborted.
Love of pleasure.
That's right. Love of pleasure is more than lovers of God. That's right. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, it says, and the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. You know, everything, if you look at it, everything that we see today, everything. Violence and everything. I mean, we don't watch television anymore because it's wicked.
Amen.
So I don't place anything wicked before my eyes nor my children's eyes anymore. We had to repent of that 3 or 4 years ago because there's nothing that you can find that will justify it or make it better.
Amen.
It's just wicked. It's vile in the sight of God's eyes. And we're not to set any unclean thing before our eyes or make a covenant with our eyes.
Amen.
And we're not to look upon those things and not allow ourselves.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. And the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, right?
Amen.
So keep thy heart, protect it, preserve it, put a guard upon it, put a watch on your heart, and be careful. Well, what do we have today? People watch more television and are on more wicked internet programs than they do anything else. And then in schools, they're taught violence as well. They're taught all of that.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? What do they have? What do they have here in America? What do we have? We have a violent culture. Why do you think they don't care when you watch on a subway, you watch on YouTube or something like that, you see videos of people that are beating somebody and they're laughing at this knockout game where they're walking around just punching helpless old ladies that are walking down the street and punching them in the face and knocking them down and killing and almost killing them. What do you think? Why do you think that is? Because they've been dumbed down. Why they play video games where they're war games where they slaughter people. They play war games where they're blood and guts and gore. I'm not talking about hunting or something like that, but war games where there's a part of one of the games, Grand Theft Auto, one of these newer games that just the last Grand Theft Auto that came out. There is a level. No. The latest. The latest war game.
Yeah, Call of Duty.
There's actually a level on there where all you're doing is going in and murdering civilians.
Oh,
you go through a whole level and you're killing civilians. Wow. That's what you're doing.
Wow.
You're just killing. That's what you're doing. It says it asks you like 3 or 4 times, are you sure you want to play that? Are you sure you want to play this level? It's a selective level. It's like, why do you have it in there? Why? Because the earth is filled with violence.
That's what our future does.
That's what we do.
Condition
them. Why do you think it's that far to take them from a video game to join the military and go do it over in the sand somewhere?
They do.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, absolutely. That's right. So they're all designed.
Yeah.
They're all designed.
Yeah.
To do that. And the earth is filled with violence. So these children see violence all the time. That's why, like, when kids aren't used to seeing anything like that and they see something in public, like our kids, like kids that are homeschooled and kids that don't see all that garbage, and they see it, they just look at it, and they're like, what in the world is going on? What is this stuff? I've never seen, like, a couple of my children have never really watched anything on a screen before. So if they see something flash by, they're like, what was that? Because they don't know what that is. You know? Quiet. Be quiet. All right, so it says here, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Let me go back up in one more verse here. The earth also was corrupt. Okay, we read that one. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. What was corrupted? The whole creation. It says the earth was corrupted.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you think they did?
GMO.
Genetically modified everything. They were hybridization. They were hybriding animals. They were mixing animals together. They were mixing. I think they were committing bestiality. I think they were making satyrs and all these other creatures. I think they were making all these hybrid animals. And I get people that mock me when I preach on stuff like that. Oh, come on. There's nothing really. It's in the Bible. Just read it. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
How were animals corrupted?
Amen.
You know how they were corrupted. They were corrupted. They knew how, like, if you look at Egyptians, the old Egyptian hieroglyphics and everything like that, they will show animals mixed with humans.
Yeah.
And they will show these things. Why? Because it was real and the stuff happened. And Egypt was where the mystery of the arcane was. Egypt was where witchcraft, the center of witchcraft was. So where do you get that, preacher? Well, if you look in the Bible, you will see where who withstood Moses?
Yeah.
Two magicians.
James and Jambres.
Yeah. What could they do? Well, I don't know how many sorcerers you know that could take a staff, throw it on the ground, and make it a serpent. They could do it.
Yeah.
They did more than that. They caused the water to get red. They caused the fish to sink. They caused a lot of those things. There were some miracles that they couldn't do, that they got to the end of, and they couldn't do. Okay? But they did many of them.
Amen.
Because they had power to do many of them.
Yeah.
They had power to do many of those things. Yes, they do. And they did. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, them, that's an interesting word, because some people don't like that when you start to compare, well, who is them? I believe them are those offspring, those... I believe they are the sons of God and the daughters of men. I believe they're the sons of God and the offspring of the sons of God destroy them. I believe these giants roam the earth so bad, and I believe they were destroying everything. I think they were eating all the food. Mm-hmm. They were eating people. They were destroying. I mean, their cultures. There are a lot of. I have two books on the history of giants. Three now. I have three books on the history of giants, and those three books deal with giants in history that they found, and most of the time. Some of their characteristics are, number one, they like to be naked. They just like to run around like a bunch of naked heathens, which sounds about like America today.
Yeah.
But number two, they like to eat people. They were cannibals. They had a desire to, like, eat people. And number three, they were always wicked. In history, you never find good giants. You always find wicked ones. They were always God-haters and wicked people.
Yeah.
Wicked, well, whatever they were. They were wicked. Okay? So God says, I'm going to destroy the earth. I'm going to destroy them. And the earth is filled with violence. People say, well, why? You know, you said, what happened to those sons of God? Well, the Bible says in Jude that they were put down. They were put, those that left their first estate, they're in chains of everlasting darkness, the book of Jude says, waiting for that day of judgment. They're waiting for it. You know, they're Tartarus, I believe it's called. Is that how you say that? Tartarus?
Mm-hmm.
I always say that wrong. But there's a holding cell in hell is where they're at. Right? And what were they charged with? If you turn in the book of Job, I believe it's chapter 4, could be
folly.
6. They were charged with folly. That's right.
That was the original.
Right, that was the original first group of sons of God
that
came out. Yep, that left their first estate there in a holding cell. And they were charged with folly. The Bible says he charged those angels with folly. What is folly? It's sexual lewdness.
Yeah, amen.
That's what that means. Because
wow.
People ask, well,
wow.
If they're there, where are they? Well, God says they're in judgment waiting. Well,
yeah.
If God is the judge of all the earth, he'll do right. So
yeah.
A judge doesn't put somebody, he's not like the American government. He's not going to put somebody in jail without telling them what their charges are, right? He's not going to be like Gitmo or something like that, you know, just throw a bunch of people in jail and not tell them why they're in there, or just leave them in there for a long time. No, that's not what God does. What did God do? He said he charged them with folly. He has no trust in his hand. He charged them with folly. It says, so he charged them with lewdness. That folly, if you trace that, that's sexual lewdness. If you trace that all the way through, it is. I've had people try to dispute the sons of God and daughters of men, but they never have to. Then there's this second group of angels that came, that did that. And I can't explain to you. I don't really know. All I know is he said, and also after that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So yeah, there was another group of something. I don't know what's happened. Now, people say, okay, what do you think about the future? What can happen in the future? Can it happen again? Yeah, I think it can. I don't know how, and I don't know how it's all going to fall in place. But if you need to look for hybrids also, you can go, you know, which are the offspring of all these weird things. You can go to Revelation chapter 9, and it shows all the locusts, and all those locusts, they have hair like women.
Yeah.
Right? And they come out of the pit.
Apollyon.
Right? With Apollyon and his hordes. They come out of the pit, and they're hybrids.
Yeah.
They're not. They're hybrid creatures. I believe they're multiplying down there in that pit now. They're just, you know, there's going to be millions of them that pop out of there.
Stars fall from heaven in Revelation.
That's right, and the key to the bottomless pit is opened. I think CERN is about the key to the bottomless pit. I think CERN is about opening up the bottomless pit. There's something. That's what's going on with these people. You know?
Already seen things?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you can't keep playing with God's creation.
Amen.
I believe that this iPhone right here, okay? This iPhone right here, I believe all this stuff, the technology, everything we have, I believe it all came, most of it came, not all of it, but much of it came from devils imparting knowledge.
Amen.
Because all the top level people, whether it was Tesla, whether it was any of those people, Einstein was friends with Aleister Crowley. I mean, all these other people, whether it was...
And Huxley.
Yeah, Huxley, Aldous Huxley, Julian Huxley. Who was it? Erasmus Huxley?
Mm-hmm.
Or Erasmus Darwin? Yeah. Erasmus Darwin was a... make him be quiet, will you? Lucius, make him be quiet. Erasmus Darwin, he was an inventor. He was an inventor, and he invented like a bunch of different things.
Just like Ben Franklin.
Right, and Ben Franklin was an inventor of things. And what were they? They were enlightened ones. Benjamin Franklin, part of the Hellfire Club.
Mm-hmm.
I think all these things, I think we don't understand the advanced high-level technology that they had before the flood.
Amen.
And that's why this earth was so evil.
Yeah.
We don't get it. We don't know what was going on. We think that, oh, we got it all figured out. But then they find in history, they have found artifacts. They have found little airplanes. They found helicopters. They have found replicas of all of these things. They have found them all in history, and batteries, ancient batteries, and all these things. We think we got it all. Man, we think we're pretty smart. You know, you see, what do you think they had? Do you think they had flying? I don't know what they had. I know one thing. I know those fallen angels that hated God. They were there when the foundations of the earth were laid, when the sons of God shouted for joy, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Remember that? They watched it all. They had expressed knowledge about what to do. They knew what to do. So they are imparting knowledge upon these high-level occultists now.
Yeah.
And they are getting on. That's why they can develop something like this. I don't believe this is strictly from the mind of a man, this iPhone.
Nope.
I don't believe that iPad is. I don't believe. Listen, computers used to have to be in a huge room, bigger than this room, big as this whole house. And it couldn't even put a 1/1,000,000th of what's on this thing right here.
Yeah.
See, where did this stuff come from? It came from a bunch of God haters. A lot of it did.
Amen.
But God still uses it for his glory. God uses the devil all the time. He used the lying devil to go speak in the ear of a king, King Ahab, to bring him down, to make him fall. And he can use anything else. God can use anything else. What we find here, though, is that this earth is filled with violence, and God says he's going to destroy him. And he told Noah, he gave him explicit instructions. He told him what to do. He said to build an ark, and this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. He told him how to fashion it. I find that, you know, God gives explicit instructions if you want to escape.
Amen.
The wrath to come.
Amen.
God gives explicit instructions of how to escape the wrath to come.
Amen.
All this, what does it say? So shall the coming of the Son of Man, look that verse up for me, brother. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. When God comes back, when Jesus, I believe it's Matthew 24, but I'm not sure. I'll have you look that up, brother. But, you know, so shall it be the Son of Man, when the Son of Man shall come, right? As in the days of Noah, you know? So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, we've got to do a cross-reference then and look and think, well, okay, what was going on in the days of Noah then?
And
what is going on now? What do we have going on right now where we're at? Right now as we speak, what's going on here? And we see a lot of wickedness abounding, you know?
And it also says as it was...
I found it right here.
Too.
Yeah, the days of Lot. That's right. And I like when he says, remember Lot's wife.
Yeah.
You know, because we're in those times, the days of Lot, right? What would happen in the days of Lot? We know what happened in the days of Lot. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. His remnant came out. But you know something I noticed about that? He had to drag his remnant out, kicking and screaming.
Yeah, he did.
Just think about that for 1 second. And what do we have now? We got a bunch of babies that don't want to hear strong Bible preaching and call them on their sin and make a change in their life and say, I'm going to follow God and separate from this world. Yeah. They got to be dragged out by two angels kicking and screaming out of Sodom.
Yeah.
Think about that. Okay, Matthew chapter 24, verse number 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days there were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So he talks about that. He says, as in the days of Noah. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in that what watched the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. You know, and that's the days of Noah. I think we are seeing the foreshadows of those days right now.
Amen. Yeah.
I really do. What do we have? We have the hybridization of the earth. Did you know that like 90% of the corn that you eat today is GMO corn?
Yep.
Sonny, if you don't buy organic corn, you're buying GMO corn. That's what you're buying. 90% of it, 92 or 93% of it. Exactly, the new cloning of the salmon.
And they're not
going
to make them label it. Right?
No, they're not going to make them label it anymore. They don't want anybody labeling it. Why? Because all of these things are coming. All of these things are coming to pass. Because they are, what are they working towards? Well, I think they're working towards, they're trying to bring that Superman, that Uberman, they're trying to bring the Antichrist kingdom, but they are changing the DNA. That's what they're doing.
Right there is the desecration of the
temple.
The temple.
That's right. It's the temple. Is actually the creation? The temple. What do we see here? What happened in the days of Noah? Mm-hmm. All the earth was corrupt before God. Violence filled the earth. Even the animals were corrupt. The whole earth. Have we corrupted the earth with GMO and with Fukushima and all these things? Are we corrupting the earth? Yeah, we're seeing the corruption of the earth.
Yeah.
What does it stem from? A bunch of ungrateful people that hate God.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what we have.
There's animal life, sea life,
massive quantities. Right, massive quantities. Why? Because we're messing with everything.
We're
destroying everything. We're absolutely destroying the earth. Now, we're not going to completely destroy it because God's going to do that. God's going to come back and melt it with fervent heat.
Yeah, he is.
And he's going to give them the global warming they desire. They're going to get it's going to get real warm, you know.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that's going to put it out. Nope. There's nothing that's going to stop it. God's going to have his vengeance upon this earth.
Amen.
But, you know, I find that God, even in these desperate times we live in, I think about God in heaven who says that he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
Mm.
God said that. He said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn, that they would repent.
Amen.
That they would believe the gospel, they would repent of their sins, their unrighteousness, and their wickedness. Even now today, God stands with his arm and his hand stretched out still.
Amen.
And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls.
Amen.
Even today, as mankind has turned his back on God, God still stands with the gospel of redemption, with a way of redemption, a way out for these people to come out. And you know what? It is incumbent upon us that we get out there and tell more people.
Amen.
And that's one of the reasons why I want to see a church started in this area right here, a strong Bible-believing, preaching church that stands on something, because this area needs it bad.
Amen.
There's so much compromise here. There's so much in the churches everywhere, but there's so much compromise here and everything else. And you know what? God has sent us out to be ambassadors and to tell the truth. Why? Because judgment is coming.
Amen.
Judgment is coming, and that's what God is warning us here. That I believe God is grieved by all this. I believe God is grieved by this. And I think when the fullness of that grief comes, when the fullness of sin comes, the Bible says, that's when God's going to come. Jesus is going to come back when that fullness of sin. He's going to come back and judge, the rightful judge. I believe tribulation is on its way to this earth.
Amen.
I believe it's on its way. And I believe we are standing on the on the threshold of God's judgment right now coming to pass.
Yes.
And it's because I believe, like what you said, I believe God is grieved. I believe He's grieved. God is grieved by this sin of this world. And how long does mankind think that God is going to suffer this to go on? How long do we believe that God is going to tolerate this wickedness and sin? How long does America believe that God is going to tolerate this sin, that this murder of babies, this murder of the innocent life, this shedding of innocent blood? How long do we believe that we have, that we can go on in sin and wickedness and evil, and the judgment of God is going to be withheld?
You know, exactly.
Yeah, like God's done with. Like, He's changed. That's the God of the Old Testament. That's not the God of the New Testament. No, my friend, that's the same God. That's the same one that judged there. It's the same one that's going to judge now.
Amen.
He's the same one. We were listening to a clip that I preached before out of a sermon called "The Terror of the Lord," and one of those clips was on this. Remember, who is this God that they preach? That this is the God that drowned the whole world, and the Bible says He will laugh at their calamity. Though He's grieved, there'll be a passing of that grief when that's over and it's time for judgment. And God, because He is perfect, because He is holy, because He is righteous, He will judge the earth. He will judge man. And He will do that, and then He will laugh at their calamity in that day when they would not repent. The Bible says in the end times, these times, these days of Noah that we're returning to, that these men, they repented not of their fornication.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
would not repent of their...
Yeah.
No matter what, God sent judgment upon them. He sent wrath upon them. He sent judgment upon... terrible woes upon them. And they would not repent of their fornication, of their sorcery,
yeah.
of their witchcraft.
Yeah.
And what do we have today? We have this absolute
yeah.
dumbing down of America through sorcery, through pharmaceutica,
yeah.
through pharmakia. Through this medicine,
yeah.
half of America is drugged up. What is it, like
yeah.
one out of every four people in America
yeah.
are on psychotropics or something like that?
Yeah.
Some figure, I can't remember, I have it in that psychotropic suicide sermon that I preached. And another one, psychotropic something, I can't remember the name of it. Remember that other one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's another one, and I can't remember the name of it, but, who are the real sorcerers?
Yeah. Yep.
Pharmakia, who are the real sorcerers? That's what the other one's called. And I cover that, how we have a nation full of doped up, drugged up people.
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to be that hard to bring on the Antichrist
no.
and the judgment? Man, they are going to fall. He's going to have a gospel of love. I'm firmly convinced that in these end times we live in, there's going to be like a gospel of love. You got to love you all got to put your differences aside.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. The only way we can do this is to exterminate the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because these Christians, they can't accept a 12th imam.
Mm-hmm.
They can't accept a 12th imam. They can't accept the final pope.
Lord Maitreya.
They can't. They're so closed-minded, they can't accept Maitreya. Is that his name?
Maitreya.
You can't accept him. You can't accept the Chinese version. All these cultures have one antichrist, final prophet that's coming.
Yeah.
All of them have Islam. And they're all going to fold in. And they're all going to come together. And they're all after Christ. They're all against Christ. And that's what we're seeing right now. We are seeing the foreshadowings. And we're on the threshold of it right as we speak right now. And that's why we got to warn people as much as we can that, hey, it's coming, friend. And I know you're going to laugh at us like they laughed at Noah when Noah was building an ark. And the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness, a prophet. And he was Noah by faith. What did he do? He built the ark. And you and I,
amen.
That's what we got to do. We got to get to work building something.
Amen.
And I know, we know the Lord builds the house. He tells us how to build it. But He has workers that He sends out. But we got to build. We got to do something. We got to, the Lord blesses churches.
Amen.
God wants churches.
Amen.
He blesses people. Don't get me wrong now. But He uses people in churches.
Amen.
And
that's right.
You need fellowship here. You people need fellowship here.
Amen.
You know, you need fellowship. You need to each other. You need more brethren and sister. Because I'm going to tell you what, everybody's going to hate us.
Amen.
I'm telling you. Yeah, they already do. Your family, everybody's going to hate you. They're going to hate what you stand for. And you know what? It's going to be your brethren.
Yep.
It's going to be your brother, true brothers in the faith that bond together.
Amen.
And that stick by each other and pray for each other. And the Bible says a friend sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. That's Christ as a friend. But you and I are to be those friends. And that's why the Bible says we're to love one another, because we don't have anybody else.
Amen.
Friend, we're all we have.
Yeah.
We're all, I mean, we have Christ, but he gave us each other, and that's it. We don't have anybody else. Your family's going to hate you. Christ said, I came to cause division. I came to cause a sword. And that's what we have. We have a sword. And the sword is getting, I'm telling you, it's getting sharper.
Yep.
And it is cutting closer than ever now. And I'm seeing pockets of people contacting me all over the country. And they're saying, listen, man, I don't have anybody anymore. Would you just... Listen, I don't have a church right now. They're all apostate around me. They're moving to Northfield. A lot of people are. But the other people are saying, hey, please, could you just like be my pastor for a while? Just, you know, I can be accountable to you and I can talk to you a little bit. And of course, it's not a local church, so technically speaking, I'm not. But can you help me with that? And I try to help them. I want to see them have a church there. I want to see them churches all over this. Why? Because they know the apostasy is here and they're walking out of these big corporations and
Amen.
All they want is money.
Amen.
They're not preaching the truth anymore.
Yep.
They're mingled with the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're secular, and they're pushing secular humanism even.
Yeah.
And witchcraft in the house of God.
Christian
and it's everywhere.
Psychology.
You know what? People are tired of it.
Yep. Amen.
People are tired of it. They don't want it anymore. They're
Antichrist
done with it.
Is in the church.
That's right. Antichrist is sitting in the church
yep.
of God. You
Amen.
Could say the temple of God, saying he is God.
Exactly.
Amen.
And that's what's happening right
yeah.
now, too. Now, we know that the end times is going to get worse. I believe there's going to be an actual temple over there that's going
yeah,
to be
yeah.
raised. But I also believe there's some figurative. There's a few different applications to that.
Yep, amen.
You know,
amen.
I think the Antichrist wants to sit on the temple of man's DNA on his heart. And that's what's happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
So through that, through the manipulation of DNA and everything that's going on right now, but this nanotechnology and
yeah.
everything that's coming. Man, I'm talking about 100,000 different things, but it's all the days. It's
yep.
all right there in
amen.
The days of Noah. It's all right there. It's already coming to an end. And what we need to do is be, you know what? We need to make sure we don't grieve God.
Amen.
We need to make sure that we grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed in the day of redemption, that we are living for God, that we are thankful, grateful children for all
Amen.
That God's done for us. And you know, we show that gratefulness, that thankfulness. If you love me, keep my commandments.
Amen.
We'll keep his commandments because we love him. That's what we'll do. We'll obey him. We'll follow him. No matter what, no matter who it separates us from.
Amen.
That we'll obey Christ no matter what the government says, no matter what our families say, no matter what our friends say, no matter what some pastors say. We will forsake all and follow him.
Amen.
Because remember, the one that was saved in all of this was the one that was found righteous in the eyes of the Lord. The only, what did he say to him? It says the earth was also corrupt before God. He said that Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God.
Mm.
He was perfect in his generations. I believe that was his generations, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
His genes. I don't believe they were defiled with any strands of wickedness or DNA. But also I believe it was
he walked with God. Amen.
But see, the reason why he kept his body clean is because
Amen.
Because
right.
his soul was clean.
Yeah.
He followed
That's
God
right.
in righteousness. So
That's
he
right.
kept him it kept him clean. And he
will know your heart.
Well, that's right. Amen. Amen. And anyway, so God told Noah and he gave him specific instructions. We have these specific instructions. Follow the Lord, follow the word of God. We have explicit instructions too. Just like Noah, we better make sure that we follow these to live a godly, righteous life, that we follow these instructions in this Bible as closely as Noah did with the ark. Could you imagine if Noah built that ark and he put a little bit of himself in there?
Yeah.
Could you imagine if he did that? If Noah just put a little bit of himself in there and said, you know, God said that I should do it, you know, pitch it within and without with this and fashion it like this and the height of it. But, you know, that's a lot of work. So I think I'll shave off a few cubits here and a few cubits there and do it like that. Well, it wouldn't have worked.
Nope.
It had to be perfect.
Amen.
He said, see, you know, every time God told a man to build something, he said, see that thou follow the pattern that I've shown thee in the mount.
Yeah.
Follow exactly what I showed you. God wants perfect obedience.
Amen.
That's what he desires from us. That's what God expects
Amen.
From us.
Amen.
So we need to make sure in these end times, that's the one thing we do is we follow God's instructions. We follow his book and we forsake all to follow him. Amen. Because I don't want to be guilty of grieving God.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I don't want to be guilty of that. I don't want that at all. I want it to be said, well done, thou good and faithful
Amen.
Servant. And there was a remnant that believed, a remnant that held out. against Antichrist. I want to do exploits against the Antichrist kingdom.
Amen.
That's what I want to do. And I want to be part of that, that fights that devil's kingdom all the way till I lose my head. And like I said, told the guys when we're preaching out in the open air, I say this to them, and if we do it right, we might just lose our head. Amen. I remember, I'll finish with this. Brother Beller told a story. There was a David Gibbs, I think it was David Gibbs, was he's a Christian attorney. I don't know if you probably never heard of him, but if you have, he's a Christian sellout attorney that sets people up with corporations, turns the church into a creature of the state, all this stuff. And he came in, he was speaking to a class on a class of preacher boys. And he said, I'm here to tell you how you can stay out of jail, how you can do things right and stay out of jail. Well, Brother Beller's a Baptist historian and everything like that, and he understands true Baptist history, and he understands the history of the martyrs and the Bible and everything else, and that, you know, and he walked up to him, and a lot of Christians went to jail. Didn't mean they were wrong or wicked people, you know. Well, he said to him, he said, after that guy immediately walked off, he walked up there, and he said, well, I'm here to tell you how you can go to jail.
Amen.
I'll tell you how you can go to jail.
Amen.
And because... You know, David Gibbs is the kind of guy that tells people, he said this to a group of preachers that were going to go preach outside of a pride festival, a gay pride festival. Yeah. He said to him, he said, well, if the police show up, just leave.
Wow.
Why would you leave? That's your advice? Leave?
Yeah. Wow.
Way to stand as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Now he's making money.
Yep.
When Ken Hovind was on trial, he walked into the room with the district attorney was across the, or state's attorney, I think. State's attorney was across the way, and here he is coming in. Here's his Christian brother that's on the stand, you know, being on trial. And David Gibbs walks up to the Christian attorney and goes, oh, hi, honey, how you doing? Good to see you again.
Wow.
They were all friends.
Wow. Yep. Yep.
Rise of wickedness is here. Brother going to betray brother. That's what's going to happen. Absolutely. So, see, this is all coming. This is all coming to a head right now. We're going to see this, and we need to stand strong. We need to make sure we are grateful children to God. We show our gratefulness and our thankfulness for all of his goodness to us by taking heed thereto according to his word. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it, Lord. Help it to sink into our hearts every day. Help us to know the times. And be able to instruct those. God, you're raising up men to know the time, that know the times and what men ought to do in America, Lord, and what they ought to do around the country. And Lord, I just pray that you bless these men. I pray, Lord, that you would start a church here, Lord. I pray that you would gather people here, Lord, even if it starts as a Bible study, just meeting together weekly and committing ourselves together, Lord, and committing one with another and say, you know what, we're going to meet weekly, get together, pray together, study the Word of God together, and fellowship together and trust the Lord and see his work start. Lord, I pray that would happen. These folks need that, Lord. They need the fellowship and the love of the brethren, Lord. We need each other in these end times. Help us not to grieve you, Lord, but obey your call and your command, Lord. Help us to be diligent and vigilant in these wicked end times we live in. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.